I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 as we continue our series this week, Two Wheel Faith. We are in the fourth week of where we're taking principles from motorcycle riding and combining it with scripture and talking about it in a practical and fun way for our life and faith journey. And today, you've probably already guessed, we're going to talk a little bit about armor. Because riding is inherently risky. In riders, we don't have a cage around us. That's what we call cars, a cage. You know, we don't have a cage around us, so we're more vulnerable. But following Jesus Christ is also risky. And there are ways we can protect ourselves when danger strikes. Looking here in Ephesians chapter 6, follow along with me as we read verses 10 through 17. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and his powerful strength. Put on God's armor so that you can make a stand against the tricks of the devil. We aren't fighting against human enemies, but against rulers, authorities, forces of cosmic darkness, and spiritual powers of evil in the heavens. Therefore, pick up the full armor of God so that you can stand your ground on the evil day. And after you have done everything possible, to still stand. So stand with the belt of truth around your waist, justice as your breastplate, and put shoes on your feet so that you are ready to spread the good news of peace. But above all, carry the shield of faith so that you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we meditate on your words this morning, may your Spirit flow through us so that we may all bring goodness to this world. And may we wield your words with the wisdom that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you've been a part of any church for any kind of while, there's a call and response that a lot of churches do, and even our church does on occasion. And if you know this, I want you to participate with me. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Let's do that again. God is good
all the time,
and all the time,
God is good.
That's right. Well, there's a motorcycle version of this as well. It's called All the Gear. All the time. And all the time, all the gear. Let's try that together. All the gear.
All the time.
And all the time.
All the gear.
Oh, excellent. I'm so proud of you. Yes. You know, you might see in your bulletin that the name of this sermon is AT-GAT. That's really an acronym that stands for all the gear, all the time. Because as motorcyclists, we wear gear. And we've got all kinds of cool options for our gear. And sometimes you'll hear somebody say they don't want to wear gear. Oh, I don't need that. You know, it interferes with my ride. No, it doesn't. Or it won't do me much good because if I wreck, I'll just die anyway. Yeah, thanks for the laughs on that. Because I want to try to make that as lighthearted as possible. Because when I think about that, it's absolutely silly. First of all, as riders, we have several sayings, and you've heard me say some of them before, but one of the sayings that we have is, it's not if you go down, it's when you go down. Because every intelligent rider knows that there's an inherent risk in riding, and that it's easy to drop your bike, and it's easy to lose focus and to have an accident. But another saying we have is that prepare for the fall, or dress for the slide. You know, and there's wisdom in that. Because as you've seen here, I've got several different types of riding gear for different riding occasions and different riding seasons and how and where I want to ride. But also, I wear gear because, well, road rash and broken bones and head trauma are miserable. Tucker was onto something when he said, cracking your skull is not any good. And let's face it, our bodies were not designed to slide and tumble along the pavement. Yeah. But also, my riding gear helps protect me from a lot of that. My jackets have, they have shoulders and elbow and sometimes back protection. My pants have hip and knee protection. My boots and gloves are padded and thick and designed in such a way to keep my hands and feet from getting mangled. And all the gear is designed to resist impact and abrasion and tearing. And when worn properly, your gear will not only save your skin and bones, it can save your life. Yeah, at the 9 o'clock service, we showed a video of different people wearing gear. You got to see me suit up in my gear. And later this week, we might put it on the Facebook page or something like that. But in there, you also saw some MotoGP riders and racers. And these are the premier guys in the world racing around the track and sometimes in excess of 200 miles an hour. And some of my favorites, like Valentino Rossi and Mark Marquez and Nikki Hayden and Casey Stoner, Jorge Lorenzo. I've seen them in person at races go down, crash, going over 100 miles an hour. And they get up and they walk away from their mangled bike. Now, wearing gear doesn't mean that bad things won't happen. It doesn't mean that you won't get hurt. But it makes the likelihood of walking away alive and healthy more in your favor. And so we wear all the gear all the time. And there's even greater wisdom than this found in our scriptures today. That Paul is encouraging us to be strengthened, not of our own strength, but of God's strength. Because God is right there with us, and God is offering us God's own strength. But not only God's own strength, but also God's own armor. Perhaps Paul was inspired to write this drawing from his surroundings while in captivity. You know, seeing the Roman soldiers dressed next to him, guarding him in their full regalia. And he gives us this captivating image of a soldier in army ready for battle. And it's something that we can imagine that we can have spiritually for ourselves. That we need God's armor. Because life is not going to be wonderful all of the time. You know, motorcycling, we wear gear because something at some point is going to happen. Maybe it's a bug, a big, heavy, juicy bug. Or maybe it's a rock kicked up from a vehicle in front of you. Or maybe it's just a bad corner and a get-off. But just like in riding, we're saying it's not if you go down, it's when you go down. In life, it's not if the enemy strikes, it's when the enemy strikes, when the enemy attacks. Because things happen. Accidents happen. Tragedies happen. Mistakes get made. And sometimes people say hurtful things. Sometimes people do evil stuff. And here is what Paul is telling us. Put on that armor. Because when people do stuff, it's important to remember that we're not fighting against other people. That it's against the evil forces in this world. And here's what I mean. I'm blessed to have my mother in church with me this morning so she can kind of verify this a little bit. It's not totally hyperbole. But I grew up in the age when the church launched a culture war. I mean, so much, maybe too much of my childhood faith was focused on this culture war. It was a war against drugs, the war against witchcraft, the war against Satanism, the war against rock and roll, the war against the media, the war against the atheists, the war against the liberals, the war against anything that didn't fit perfectly or align with our very narrow, specific interpretation of the Bible. You know what I did? I enlisted in the army of the religious right. And we were on the offense. Jesus may have given us a little motivation by saying the gates of hell will not prevail, but we took that and ran with it down the road, and we were on the offense to burn anything down and anybody that wasn't with us or aligned with us, who didn't join our cause. That we, as the church, shot flaming arrows everywhere and burned the world down. And the world has hated us, not because we offered them Christ, but because we heaped judgment and condemnation. And now the world knows us better for what we're against than what we're for. And I'm guilty. And many of us are guilty. And we need to repent and do better. Some of us still live in this paradigm. Some of us still think we're in this culture war, and we still hear about it on the news. It's been revived in recent years, and we end up putting our version of Christianity over Christ Jesus, who came and lived and died and rose from the dead, not just for me, but for all of us, for all of creation. To know Him, to know Jesus, to know God through Jesus, and to know God's true character. And God's character is love. God's character is a mercy and grace. God's character is one of healing and reconciliation. And it's a character that we can do better to emulate. And one of the ways we do this is by wearing the armor of God. Not our own armor, but God's armor. It's God's belt of truth that holds it all together. God's breastplate of justice that protects our heart and our vital organs. God's boots or shoes that allow us to bring and take peace with us wherever we go. God's shield of faith that extinguishes the arrows, the flaming arrows that are shot at us. And God's helmet of salvation, which secures our mind, reminds us that God is there. And we wear it all so that we can stand. That when we've done all everything else that we can, when we've done all the good that we can, that we can still stand. We can stand on the promises of God. Romans 8:38 reminds us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And when we have God's armor on, we won't ever forget that. Because that truth, that promise, that can never be stolen from us. But it's up to us to put on that armor. It's the armor that God Himself wears that leaves no part of the body unprotected. I invite you to put it on. But here's the thing. And this is a big thing that a lot of people miss. Just like motorcycle gear is for protection for when you're on your journey, it's not for getting into fistfights. You would look pretty silly putting on a motorcycle gear and running out trying to get into a fight with someone. But the same thing with the armor of God. The armor of God is not for us to go out and to get into fights. In fact, God's armor is defensive. The only offensive piece is the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. And we know from Scripture that the word of God is Jesus. Hebrews 4:12 reminds us that God's word penetrates to the soul and judges the hearts and thoughts and intentions. Because Jesus cuts to the heart with His truth and His wisdom and His love. He pierces our conscience and He calls us to repentance. He calls us to do and to be better. Now someone might say, well, Paul only used this metaphor of a sword because they didn't have guns. Well, actually, no. They did have ranged weapons. They had bows and arrows. They had slings, and they were really good with them. They could shoot them from horses or from the backs of camels. But if you read closely, you'll notice that it's only the enemy that shoots arrows. Because the enemy wants to hurt you from a distance. And the enemy launches those fiery arrows and doesn't care who or what they hit, as long as they injure or burn someone or something. And that's not God's way. God does things up close. You have to be close to use a sword. But God does things up close with the power of God's word. And it's very intimate. Because that sword of the Spirit, which is God's word, which is Jesus, works through the intimacy of closeness, of relationships, of getting to know someone and sharing Jesus with them. His word is not for cutting off ears and heads. It's for piercing hearts. It's for elevating truth over falsehood, bringing justice to injustice, and making peace instead of violence, building faith over doubt, and establishing salvation over hopeless desperation. It's for bringing people into a relationship through Jesus, into a relationship with God through Jesus. In the Spirit of God, the sword of the Spirit, that presence and power of Jesus, it's alive in you and each and every single one of you. You have that in you. And how you use it can be the difference between life and death. But Paul encourages us. He goes on in verse 18 to say, specifically use this for prayer. Pray for each other and pray for all believers. Finally, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities. Or as our translation says in verse 12, that we aren't fighting against human enemies, but against rulers, authorities, forces of cosmic darkness, and spiritual powers of evil in the heavens. Now, in our baptismal vows, we say that we will use the power that God gives us to resist the forces of evil in whatever forms they present themselves. Friends, sisters, and brothers, this is important that we not fool ourselves. Let's not trick ourselves into thinking that there's not evil out in the world. Some people will say that the evil is simply the absence of God's will or the presence of God, and I would agree with that. But I will also say that there are absolutely forces of evil at work in this world. But you know what? It's not the person who votes different than you. It's not the person who thinks or looks different than you. It's not any human being. And as much as you dislike that politician, it's not them. Paul uses the expression, the forces of cosmic darkness. What an interesting phrase. When I looked this up in the Greek, it was the word cosmocrator. That just sounds kind of cool, cosmocrator. But I think he used this word intentionally in contrast with the Greek word pentocrator. Perhaps you've heard that word before. But you see, cosmocrator is a word that means ruler of the world, of the earth, even of the universe. That's a name for the enemy, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call the forces of evil. Yet that stands pale by comparison to pentocrator. That's an ancient Greek name for Jesus, the pentocrator, the ruler of all creation. Not just the world, not just the heavens, not just the universe, but Jesus is ruler of all creation, all worlds, all heavens, all universes. And he is greater than any cosmocrator will ever be. And we get to wear the mighty armor of the pentacrator to protect us from the cosmocrator and the tricks of the cosmocrator. And I think that's a pretty powerful image. So when you're riding your motorcycle and you happen to go down and you're wearing your gear, you've got a pretty good chance to just get back up, pick that bike up and throw that leg back over it and get on your journey or ride down the road or head on home. It's kind of like my grandfather said, when you get knocked down, get back up on the horse. Let that horse know you're not going to give up. Show him that you're not a quitter. When we put on the armor of God, we're able to stand against whatever the world throws at us. Some days, sometimes it might be really hard. Some days we might want to give up. And there will be days when we felt like we've just had enough. Yet with the armor of God on, we can be reminded that God is right there with us. That God is giving us God's strength to not quit and to not give up. And you know what? God never gets tired. And God is giving us His armor, and His armor will protect us from the evil one. So just like you would wear all the gear all the time, wear all the armor all the time. Because when we put on the armor of God, when we use the Word of God, that's how we win. That's how we persevere. That's how we become victorious. Amen.